From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Nepal's earthquake death toll now exceeds 4,300. Mass cremations are being carried out across Nepal following Saturday's massive 7.8 magnitude earthquake and sharp aftershocks that left more than 4,300 dead, thousands more injured and missing. Within the U.S.-Nepalese community, Ram Tamang in New York said some of his family is still missing.
It's been almost 72 hours. They are still trapped inside the rubbles. So I just spoke 2 hours ago in Kathmandu. They said they couldn't take him out because there is nothing to... They are trying to get helicopters to get the food or medicine for something, but there is not enough helicopters and the roads are blocked and they cannot go to any car or anything. They cannot bring anything up there. So the communication is, it's very difficult to talk to them because there is no phone lines and there is no electricity.
Landslides and rubble have blocked aid from reaching more remote areas outside the capital, Kathmandu. Meanwhile, a massive international humanitarian response is underway, the United States promising an initial response of $10 million. Libyan officials say militants killed five journalists from a private television station who had been missing for months. The five had their throats slashed and were found near the eastern city Beta Monday. There's been no immediate claim of responsibility, but Libyan officials and the International Federation of Journalists blame the Islamic State militants. In Angola, the opposition UNITA party Monday said more than 1,000 civilians were killed when police clashed with members of an outlawed Christian sect last week in Huambo province. Police say 13 were killed in the confrontation with the banned Light of the World group, along with 9 police. This is VOA News. Sudan's President Omar al-Bashir has won another term in office with 94% of the vote in an election boycotted by the opposition. Mr. Bashir has been in power since a military coup in 1989. The European Union, United States, Britain, and Norway criticized the election, saying the lack of a promised national dialogue left Sudan without an inclusive political process. Jeff Rathke is a U.S. State Department spokesman.
We regret the government of Sudan's failure to create a free, fair, and conducive elections environment. The restrictions on political rights and freedoms, the lack of a credible national dialogue and the continuation of armed conflict in Sudan's periphery are among the reasons for the reported low participation and the very low voter turnout. So as a result of this, we do not consider the outcome of these elections to be a credible expression of the will of the Sudanese people.
A 71-year-old Mr. Bashir, wanted by the International Criminal Court on war crimes charges, faced only a collection of minor candidates. Togolese continued waiting for the results of an election expected to keep President Faure Gnassingbé in power. President Gnassingbé seeking a third 5-year term, which would keep his family in power for nearly half a century. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry met Monday with his Iranian counterpart Mohammad Javad Zarif in New York for the first time since a framework agreement on Tehran's nuclear program was reached earlier this month. Both men spoke at a U.N. nuclear conference. Mr. Kerry saying a final agreement sought by Washington and 5 other powers would make the world safer. Mr. Zarif defended his country's right to pursue nuclear energy.
Each state party, in line with its national requirements and in accordance with the rights and obligations under the treaty, has a sovereign right to define its national energy and fuel cycle policies, including the inalienable right to develop for peaceful purposes a full national nuclear fuel cycle. Accordingly, the choices and decisions of each state party in the field of peaceful uses of nuclear energy should be fully respected.
Negotiators from the 6 world powers trying to reach a final agreement with Iran over its nuclear program ahead of a June 30 deadline. President Obama in Japan's visiting Prime Minister Shinzo Abe discussed security and economic matters at the White House today, Monday. Japanese and U.S. officials revised their bilateral defense agreement to give Japan a stronger role in the region. Ashton Carter's the U.S. defense chief.
Under these new guidelines, we can work in new domains like space and cyberspace, and we can cooperate in new ways, both regionally and globally.
The revision, the first since 1997, follows a decision by Japan's cabinet last year to revise the interpretation of its post-war pacifist constitution to allow for what it called collective self-defense. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.